circumstance and situation that's too big for me. Father, I want change. How many of you want to see a shift and a transition? You know, maybe you looked at this shift transition and you thought about you going through the process, but what about God? The God who does not change, bringing incredible change and shift. Father, we just trust you, the God of change and shift and transition, that you can reverse every curse. You can alter circumstances. You can pull down walls of opposition and prejudice. So, Father, right now we're touching heaven. And we believe that that can bring change on earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. You all have noticed when you walked in that I live in Oxford now. Helen went to Oxford. How many of those slight difference of brain capacity? And Helen will actually be sharing the next session. So after the break. And we want to go on a journey this morning. I just want to look at some of the graces when God has got us in a season of shift and change. I know that the church is here, but how many of you know that right in our own lives we can sense the hand of God beginning to push us? Bob Muffin's famous statement when he's walking with God, sort of complaining about some of his circumstances and wanting everything else to change and asking God to bring change. And he said, Mumford, I'm the God and I don't change. Inference being, it's a good time for you to change. And I think so much about change and shift seasons are actually about how we are going to allow it to position us. So, we moved to Oxford in 2005. I've never written a book, but I've now written 7 with some study guides. The two most recent ones Helen's put in my hands, you will notice little devotionals. My friends call this chocolate-covered hand grenades. They look cute, but it's 40 days because I am one of those crazy people who believe that Christians should be into brainwashing. What do I mean? How many of you know it's your thinking that often gets you in trouble? How many of you also would agree with me that identity crisis is not a teenage thing? How many of you have ever had an identity crisis later in life? You suddenly think, who am I, what am I, I'm fat, mean and ugly, or whatever. But you begin to download the enemy's thinking, and suddenly you can't get out. And I believe it's at those times we need to pick up something and begin to unashamedly brainwash our thinking processes with Jesus. And so I wrote this book. The little yellow one is much more identity focused. The green one you will see is much more direction, fear, anxiety. You know, you suddenly begin to think, I'm missing life, I don't know my way, and the anxious thoughts. And then the final one in the series, Run Your Race. This is what I wrote, inspired by Usain Bolt at 2012. And some people just finish their race like a champion. Others stagger over the line. They both get gold. But I would really like it if I could finish looking great. And I believe there are certain decisions we make in character and life choices that can help us do life well. And sometimes we just know this is a good New Year's one. If we're real honest, we're stagnated a bit. How many of you know what I mean? And you're just cruising a bit because everyone around you is maybe doing the same, and you think, well, I'm not bad, but inside of you, you know you've got another measure. And I just felt that as I prayed for this, part of the transition and change God is wanting to challenge you with today is, we go another measure. Remember the Holy Spirit walking with Ezekiel, comes to the river, and he says, come on, can I measure you? Another 1,000 cubits. Can I give you another measure? Can I give you an upgrade? Are you prepared to step a little deeper, go a bit further? And maybe that's why you're here, because actually part of the change is your look at the role of women in the church. Because God began to speak to me that there are so many outstanding, amazing women who have got frozen in their understanding of who they are in this day. This book is not a feminist book. I'm not a feminist. I'm not an equalitarian in the sense that we should always have a woman at every table. As a woman, love me, girls, but I believe your token woman at the table can be the biggest pain in the neck. If you're there because you're just a token woman to bait the balance. If you're there because you're called appointed, thank you, Jesus. I'm not into tokenship, but I am into breaking every bondage of the religious devils that don't allow men and women to stand up in the grace of who Jesus has made them for this time, harvest time. Because we need mothers and fathers, Abrahams and Sarahs, in the nations, reproducing Jesus and looking good. In the midst of this book, we do all the hard scriptures. A woman should be saved through childbirth. I do not permit a woman to speak. All the outstanding intelligent bits are Helen. That she went to Oxford. She's a double first class honours at Oxford. She's a theologian. Alistair McGrath, many of these amazing theologians, Helen studied under them. And so she loves languages and knows original texts. And especially in Oxford, you have a much access. And so we've really looked at both the conservative and the liberal interpretation and looked at authentic texts and cultural positioning and tried to give you as honest and unbiased look at some of those scriptures to help position you to make your choice. We haven't necessarily been prescriptive. We've been, well, here is the plethora of different things. Now, decide with Jesus. Does that make sense? So, if that's something that I'd love to say, come on, men and women, read it. Because, how many of you know, both of us have to get shoulder to shoulder to make Jesus look good. So, that's everything. Helen, they're yours to give away. And let's come. Oh, we've got the PowerPoint. I could just see that there's. So, let's come. What am I going to speak about this morning? I'm going to speak about change and shift. Oh, we've got some pictures of family. Okay. This is my wonderful husband. You'll be glad to know he's the same one I had last time. I decided not to trade him in. We've been married 33 years. Maybe just click them through. This is four generations of trouble for the devil. So, that was my mom, me, Nicola, and my little granddaughter. This is my son with his wife. And they have just moved in home with me. And I have a new little grandbaby called Annabelle Olivia Dawn. And she is only 3 weeks there. She's so alert, I can't believe it. She's already going to preach by 5 months, I think. So I'm going to speak this morning about change and shift. I'm a prophetic person, and I don't care how much we say we like change. How many of you know it's great to think about it, but the process is really annoying? How many would agree with me? And as a prophetic person, I can prophesy change for everyone else, but please don't do it to me. Because there is something about when the Holy Spirit gets really hold of your life and you sense the change and shift, that most of us suddenly dig our roots down and think, no, I like it the way it is. How many would agree with me? One of the illustrations I like to give of these change and shift seasons is, I'm looking at pot plants. Many times we feel really rooted. How many of you know what it means? You feel settled, your roots are down, you feel in the right place. Maybe in your job situation, I'm happy, everything's going really well. Maybe in your church situation, maybe in just your geographical situation. And then suddenly there comes this slight frustration. You can't even put your finger on it. You don't know why. You then begin to think, well, maybe it's the cat church people because of a sense of it almost withdrawing. And if I can, I think it's it. Is that all right, someone? But you see, because of the sense that you've been uprooted and almost bound in an individual place, you can get all angry and depressed. How many of you know what I mean? Like no one cares for me. I think what I have watched in my experience is when I watch people beginning to go through this transition, you can often get depressed. Or hyper-independent. I don't work it out. Just keep out of my world. Because they feel that sense of isolation. Just don't get in my face. I need to. Can I just say that's supposed to be the worst thing you can do? Yes, it's a real rooting time with Holy Spirit, but it has to be a real leaning time into people. And I think great transitions are people who manage to still keep their relationships. The enemy's greatest tactic in times of transition and change is insecurity and rejection. Nobody really cares about it. Nobody really understands you. No one sees what you're going through. And I want to say, guys, this is very true for you. You might model the expression differently, but what it tends to stir is just this independent, well, I'll get it through, I'll do it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Someone describes transition like this. Let me read it. Transition. This is the season of your life when the wind begins to blow. Winter's just come. All the doors of your home begin to rattle. The rattling doors of the sense of wind and shift attracts my attention. I begin to check the doors and windows, but find that the ones that are rattling the ladders are not necessarily the ones that are open. I begin to go through a process of checking each door and window and trying to find what lies behind them, discovering so many are tightly sealed and won't yield to me. Transition time is that time when the doors that I thought were definitely open seem to not move an inch to me. And while the rattling and the sound of insecurity is all around, suddenly I discover other doors that maybe haven't rattled as loud are beginning to open. And I need to be still and hear a greater sound than the sound of the rattling within my house. How many of you recognize that? So just pray with me for a moment. Father, just say it out loud with me. Father, I ask you, give me grace, give me wisdom, give me the ability to hear what you're saying. My time of shift. I think the major challenge in transition is timing. Because of that sense of isolation and stuff going on, sometimes you want to force the issue because it's uncomfortable. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Think back to birth. You know, the midwife saying, hold, hold, and you're thinking, seriously, now let's get over this as fast as I possibly can. And if you push hard at the wrong time, you can tear, and then you bleed. And I've watched people that as they begin to feel the Spirit of God begin to uproot them and block them, because this is an uncomfortable season, it's like, just get me out of here, get me in somewhere. And they make those independent plans very quickly to reconnect somehow, somewhere, and can do it a little bit aggressively. Like, yeah, I'm out of here. It's a new thing, Susan. You just need to let me go. It's a new day. How many of you have seen that or heard that? And suddenly you shift far too quickly because the insecurity, that nasty atmosphere of the season, we just say, get me out of here. How many of you have seen that? And God wants to give us grace and wisdom. So do not jump maturely and force the situation. But on the other hand, great error is made in not transitioning quickly enough. That, well, I'm just going to hold on, hold on, hold on, and people hold on too long. Reading about transition, someone said this, and I agree with it. He said, many shift and change. Because part of what's happening in your world is everything feels like it's being withdrawn, pulled in, becoming smaller. Our natural instinct as human beings in seasons of difficulty is to put in, withdraw, batten down. How many of you understand what I'm meaning? And so in the season of shift and change, whether it's in your workplace, marriage, location, there's that great sense of, oh, this thing is a bit scary, I'm just going to pull back a bit. How many of you have heard people say that? I'm going through a bit of a shift, I just need to pull back. Can I say from my experience, the times when I make my biggest mistakes have been when I pull back? And I want to show you why, because I believe one of the graces of shift, change, transition time is to go in the opposite spirit, the spirit of the world and the spirit of our human nature. And so to remain giving and generous in a season where everything feels contained, shifting and moving, how many of you know that is not natural? That has to be supernatural on our natural. So you're just about to shift neighborhood, house and everything. Everything comes along. We just need to take some time out. We need to think about what we're doing. We need to. And I believe in that isolation, often comes the confusion. The spirit of generosity. So let's just look at Proverbs 11, 24 to 25. And often we use these scriptures just for finances. And when I'm talking about the challenge of generosity, of course generosity touches finances. But how many know there is that emotional well, generosity in being our friendships, our emotional well, generosity in our spiritual engagement. We can give on many levels. Do you get what I'm saying? So when I'm talking about challenge of generosity, I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your relationships. I'm talking about your money, your spiritual digging in. And in shift and change time, that's one of the greatest challenges. Can I still be giving when I feel contracted? So Proverbs 11, verse 24, 25. Can we read it? One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Now I want you to think of this in transition season. You know, one man's giving freely. You keep that attitude of being generous and giving and inclusive. Remember, I've said one of the major weapons of the enemy in these times is isolation, rejection, insecurity. So it costs you to give in that atmosphere. And as you keep giving in that season, actually God gives you breath. In Isaiah 54, in a single barren woman, and she's the barren contained, I'm not sure what's growing season. But in that very season, that come on, sing, give, enlarge, give away, increase. Another withholds on duty but comes to poverty. Remember, I'm not just talking money, but it affects the money. But I'm not going to give my time anymore because I don't know what they're doing, I'm going to withhold. Uh-oh. It's not them that's going to lose the biggest amount. Until God repositions you and connects you, don't become withholding. But I'm pulling everything in, we're backing down the hatchet. I'm not going to give any time. I'm not going to withdraw my service, withdraw my heart, withdraw. A man who withholds in jury actually comes with poverty. And you end up coming to poverty of soul, relationships, poverty of spirit, revelation, direction, and poverty practically. Come on, I hate moving every time. It's like hell on earth. Maybe it's because As you keep refreshing others, guess what? In this transition shift movie, you're going to know the absolute refreshing of God. And you can move and shift like a champion, finish the race looking great, because you've been refreshed in body, mind, soul, spirit, being. And I believe it's one of the greatest challenges of our faith. But will we allow the seasons of shift and insecurity to cause us to come into limitation and downsize? Will we begin to hold? And often that seems like wisdom. How many of you understand what I'm saying? We process it, we think, oh, it's wise to just withhold in this season. But actually, in our seasons of greatest change, transition should be our most outrageous seasons of generosity. Just think of Jesus. Jesus was an amazing, generous gift given to the world. Do you agree? You think about the end of Jesus' ministry. He's ministered for 33 years on earth, and he's about to transition change back to heaven. What does he do? Goes to Calvary and gives his most outrageous gift of all. He hangs on the cross, and he knows it is finished, but he withholds nothing. And even in that moment, the outrageous generosity of God, that he looks at the man hanging on his right, and even has time to engage him, talk to him, bring him to Jesus, and get him into paradise. Isn't that outstanding? And I'm going to say that it's most been one of the greatest shifts, change, transitions the man has ever done. But in that moment, this amazing Jesus can still be generous, inclusive, stretching, extending, and I feel challenged. And so I just want to ask you, can you keep looking out in these seasons? Here's another Psalm 84, verse 11. Let's read this together. The Lord God is our sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold those whose walk is blameless. And then often we think, well, okay, there's high qualification here, and I'm not sure I always make it blameless. Another translation for this is, for those whose walk is in the righteous path. In other words, those who are choosing to position themselves in the right standing before God. It doesn't mean you can't mess up, but it's a choice thing. No good thing is God withhold from those who are choosing a path of righteous intent. Do you get what I mean? It's like, God, I want to do this right. And God says, I'm there, and my generosity is over you in this season. And so, I want to just press that generosity button. How many would agree that's tough? So let's just put our hands together and say, God, help me. Help me be generous in relationships. Generous with my finances. Generous with my time. Generous with my spirit. No good thing do I want to withhold in the season of change. So that was the number one challenge. The number two challenge that I believe in change and shift, which I've mostly touched, is the thinking game. How many of you would say the biggest challenge is between your ears, not in your world? And it's when you get into bed, your little mind starts cranking up, and you can live through sure I could be like that going to Chicago. And you have this dream that when you hit the runway, it's going to be warm and sunny and great.